Well, I'm delighted to be able to be here on this July 2nd, and I have to inform you that I don't have a patriotic sermon for you today, but I am delighted to be able to worship with you and give our Father thanks for allowing us to live in this nation where we are free to worship and free to gather, free to evangelize, and free to celebrate being the body of Christ. I do want to start today by just saying that on August 1st of 2022, almost a year ago, about 11 months ago, I began serving as region minister with American Baptist Churches of Indiana and Kentucky after serving two local congregations for 24 years. And Mark Thompson, our executive minister, cautioned me. He said, "Steve, you may want to take a couple of weeks off to clear your mind and to get ready for this new ministry that you're about to do." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I just thought, hey, I'm ready. I'm going to jump in, both legs running. But he cautioned me that I would undergo a kind of a grief associated with changing from a local church pastor to a region minister. And I thought, yeah, whatever. I didn't pay much attention to his warning. But indeed, I did grieve being a local pastor, because there is nothing like speaking to a group of people week after week, good days, bad days, times of celebration, times of joy, as well as times of sorrow and suffering. So to be a pastor is a fantastic, an amazing gift that God gives to some, but not to all. But I did grieve being a local pastor, and it's a great honor to serve as a pastor. But I am not a pastor anymore. I see what I do today as a pastor to pastors, and pastors are pastors of congregations. And so after a year of this position, serving over 100 congregations throughout Indiana and Kentucky, I have to say that it is fitting better each and every day, but I'm still just a little bit, I'm excited to be here to preach, because this is something that I've done for a number of years, and it doesn't leave my system. It's something that I really enjoy doing. But this first year, with it wrapping up in just about a month, I've had time to reflect on my experiences so far as a region minister. And the way I do that is I ask myself tough questions. Do any of you ask yourselves tough questions? I encourage you to ask yourself tough questions. The couple of tough questions that I've been asking myself recently is, what is it that I see in congregations that we must still do in order to faithfully carry out the mission that Christ has given us? What is it that I see in every congregation I visit that we must still do in order to carry out the mission that Christ has given us? And what is it? Where is that distance between what has been done and what needs to be done in regards to Christ's calling upon his church? Where are we? Where do we stand between what has been done and what do we yet need to do to accomplish Christ's call upon his church? These are pretty big questions, but I think that they're some that deserve our attention and deserve our dedication. Back in 1988, before I had ever crossed the Ohio River and came into the great state of Indiana, I was enrolled at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I believe that I was introduced to perhaps what is the answer to these two questions that I've just asked. In a study of what is called the doctrine of the laity, The doctrine of the laity. Now, I know that you're not on the edge of your seat right now at this time because I said the doctrine of the laity. How many of you have any idea what I'm talking about when I say the doctrine of the laity? Oh my. That is so scary. It really is scary. Laity is from the Greek word laos, which means people. And people are what make up the church. Laos means the people of God. Laity is the people of God. And you and I are the people of God. What does it mean to be the people of God? The doctrine of the laity states that every Christian is a basic minister of God's mission of reconciliation to the world that we live in. Every Christian is a minister in the world in which we live. That is what the doctrine of laity is all about. You are a minister in this world in which we live. And what I believe that the Protestant church today has not adequately understood is that God's call to each Christian is to become part of his people and to respond to his call to ministry. Let me say that again. God's call to each Christian is to become a part of his people and respond to his call to ministry. So what I'm going to encourage you to do today is to think about this. What is the ministry to which God is calling me? Every one of you are called to ministry. I don't know if you do a lot of research about what is happening in the church in America today. There are a lot of churches in America that are closing. Amazing numbers of churches in America are closing. And the problem in our churches is not that we don't have enough members. Listen to what I'm saying. Our problem is that we do not have enough ministers. We will not have enough ministers unless our members have a deeper motivation to minister. Members will not have a deep enough motivation until there is a deeper understanding of God's call in the salvation relationship. You see, what I'm afraid has happened in America and probably all over the world is that individuals sense that they have been called to salvation but have not been called to ministry. But I want you to know that the call to salvation is a call to ministry. God calls each of us to be a witness and a minister in all areas of our lives. And this is the fundamental concept of what we believe as Baptists to be called the priesthood of every believer. Have you heard of that term, the priesthood of every believer? Okay, you're scaring me. The priesthood of every believer. See, these are things that are part of our identity. And you have to realize that in order to be a Christian, you're not just called to someday be taken away to glory. You're called to minister every day while you're here on earth. There's a general ministry that each Christian has, and there's a special area of focus that each Christian can minister to. In all the places where God is working, we have to discover and do that ministry that God has gifted each of us to do. Now I'm asking you, think about the ministry that God is calling you to, because if God has called you to be a Christian, God has called you to a ministry. My friend Phil Moore, how many of you remember Phil Moore? Awesome, I love that. Phil Moore, what a great friend. He used to start just about every one of our conversations with, What's your focus? That's how he would greet me a lot of days. What's your focus today? In the past 10 to 20 years, we've lost our focus as the church. And I believe that there's been very little work done on getting every Christian to recognize his or her spiritual gift so that those gifts can be utilized in the life and growth of the church. And as a result, very few Christians have very little idea about what their call to ministry is. But I do want you to know, if you are called to salvation, you are called to ministry. Do you believe me? Oh, good. Good, good, good. You do believe me. Ask yourself this. What is Christ calling me to do as part of his body today? What is Christ calling me to do as part of his body today? Elizabeth O'Connor was a staff member of the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. for more than 40 years. And she wrote a number of books, one of which is called Call to Commitment, and another is called Journey Inward, Journey Outward. She once said, listen, a primary purpose of the church is to help us discover our gifts and in the face of our fears, hold us accountable for the use of these gifts. Is our church, is Versailles Baptist Church, helping us discover our gifts, and is Versailles Baptist Church holding us accountable for the use of these gifts? Perhaps the main reason congregations are struggling these days is because no one is holding each other accountable for the identification and the use of the gifts we've received from God. Is it any wonder that we see so many churches wrapping it up, locking the door, and calling it quits? We're not identifying our gifts, and we're not using the gifts that we may have identified. The truth is that God has not only called each Christian to be a minister, but God has gifted each of us in the area he wants you to minister. God would never call you to do something and then not give you the gifts that are needed to do it, because that's just cruel, and God is not cruel. God will give you over and above what you need to perform any ministry that he calls you to do. I'm living proof. I never would have thought that I would have been able to speak in front of a crowd. Extremely shy as a youngster, and would often hide behind my dad whenever we would go into a new place or a new group, because I just didn't like to for anybody to notice me. And the truth is, I think probably many of us have that same experience. Others of us are gregarious, outgoing, love to talk with people. The truth is, God uses all kinds of folks. And God expects us to utilize our gifts to reach out to others. If you remember nothing else I say today, please remember this. Christians, you have been gifted and called for ministry by God. Every one of you. If you have your Bible, we're going to look today at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And we're also going to look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, some translations say, for the common good. Other translations say, it's given to every one of us to profit all of us. You see, when we understand our spiritual gifts and we utilize our spiritual gifts, all of us profit. That's what Paul says. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, as every one has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, minister to one another. In Romans, Paul wrote to emphasize that God's people have lots of different gifts, but all of God's people are gifted. There is no such thing as a Christian who has no spiritual gift. It's just not possible. In Romans 12:6, Paul says, having then gifts, and Paul is assuming that Christians know that they have gifts, he says, they differ according to the grace that is given to us. And then he goes on to tell us some of those gifts. If you're a Christian, you are gifted. I want you to look at the person on your right and on your left and say, if you are a Christian, you are gifted. If you are a Christian, you are gifted. How does that feel? How does that make you feel to know that God has given you at least one spiritual gift? That's a good feeling, isn't it? God has not just given you this gift, but He has a relationship with you through His Holy Spirit that will allow you and will enable you to use your gift. You know, when we get a spiritual gift, it's not the kind of thing that we keep in its wrapper and set it up on the mantle and say, well, there's my gift, look at it. It's a spiritual gift is something that we unwrap and that we live it, we use it, we wear it out every day. And we look for ways to sharpen it and ways to polish it and ways to make it work better. That's what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is not given to you primarily for your benefit or primarily for your enjoyment. It's not about you. Paul says that the gifts are given in 1 Corinthians 12:7 for profiting all Christians, because your gift profits me and my gift profits you. If I am selfish with my gift, it doesn't profit you. A spiritual gift cannot be hoarded. It must be used. Peter said that gifts are given to minister to each other. Gifts are for the common good, and they're ultimately for fulfilling God's purpose in the world. If we use a spiritual gift for any other reason, then we've got a lot of explaining to do to the giver of that gift, who is God. And I don't want to even think that I can stand a chance when God says, Steve, I gave you certain gifts to use. Let's do a little checkup. How's that going? How's that working out? How have you been utilizing what I've given you? A lot of us may remember the parable that Jesus told about the folks to whom certain amounts were given, to one a large amount, to another a medium amount, and to the third a small amount. And the one who was given a lot invested that, and he was able to give back many times what he had been given. The one who had been given a medium amount invested it and was able to return many times what he was given. And the one who was given just one hid it, buried it in his backyard, right? And when the master came back, he was asked, what did you do with the gift? And the servant said, well, I buried it in the yard. And it made his master extremely angry. Why do some Christians tend to deny that they have spiritual gifts? How many of you have asked somebody, what's your spiritual gift? And the reply was, well, I don't think I have one. Yeah, I've asked many people, what's your spiritual gift? Well, I'm not sure I do. So I'm asking you, what's your spiritual gift? Has God gifted you something that will build His kingdom? Some people think that to affirm that God has given them a gift would be an expression of pride, kind of be bragging. And that does happen sometimes, whether a person has a gift or not, they brag. And Paul says in Romans 12:3, he warns Christians that through the grace given to me, that everyone among you don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He's, amen. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But I think Paul would say, if you have a gift, use it. Don't stick it in your pocket. Because God is counting on you to use the gifts that he gives you. Pride, I think, runs more people away from our churches than perhaps any other sin. You know what I'm saying? Pride is a hard characteristic to live with. Nobody wants to be around a proud and bragging person. But with the gift comes a responsibility, and you are responsible to utilize your gift under the lordship of Christ. God would not give you something that he doesn't intend for you to use. Make use of the gifts that God has given you. Would God call a person to a certain ministry and fail to give that person the gifts that would enable him or her to fulfill that ministry in effective ways? No, that is not how God is. God gives the gift and God enables the use of that gift. A person's ministry is a clear sign of that person's gift. What that means is when you exercise the gift that God has given you, people are going to notice, and people are going to know that you're the person they need to come to when they're in need of this gift. So it's very important that you exercise your gift. You might identify your gift first and then put it to work in ministry. But what happens most of the time is that you're in ministry, you're working, you're helping, and then you get it. This is the gift that God has given me to do, and I can do it well. But either way, God wants you to utilize your gift. When you find your ministry, it's kind of like Eureka. Eureka is that word that gold prospectors would use when they strike gold. Eureka, I've found gold. You know what? I believe that inside every person who gives their life to Christ, there's that Eureka experience. First of all, that you are worthy to be someone who is loved by God. Eureka! God loves you. And then there is that understanding that God has called you, God has given you gifts to minister to others. Eureka! I have a purpose. I have a gift. I found the reason why I'm here. This is what I was created for. That is better than finding pure gold. And when you find your place of focused ministry, you might find yourself daydreaming about how to fulfill the possibilities of this ministry, what you can help accomplish. And so if you find yourself thinking about ministering to people, whether it's helping folks who are under-resourced or helping single parent children and families, or whatever you may find that God is gifting you to do, you might find yourself thinking about this a lot and finding ways to be better at it. That's an identification of your gift. And when you discover your gift and your ministry, You often just can't shut up about it because it's so important and so meaningful to you. Any of you have that friend who is always talking about what God is doing in their life and what God is making available for that person to do, to help others? That's a sign of understanding one's gift and one's ministry. What is it that God is doing in the world that would give you the deepest sense of fulfillment to be part of at this time in your life? What is it that God is doing that you want to be a part of? I pray that you find it and that you do it. Let's pray. Today, Lord, we're so grateful for gifts that you give your people. As we consider what a gift it is to be an American citizen, we realize that there are responsibilities that come along with being an American citizen. And very similarly, we realize that there are responsibilities that come along with being a citizen of your holy kingdom. And Lord, for too many, we put being an American above being a Christian. We put being a part of this nation above being part of those who are called out by Christ to go to a world that is dying in sin and to bring the good news that Christ has paid the price for our freedom. Christ has made it possible for us to be free from the wages of sin and death. Christ has made it possible for our lives to be put to use, bringing others into a relationship with his saving grace. Today, Lord, we thank you for the freedoms, but most of all, we pray that you will enable us to thank you for the responsibilities, that you will enable us to understand our responsibilities, and that with the responsibilities, you have given us gifts to make sure that these responsibilities are fulfilled. Help us to seek those gifts and help us to utilize those gifts in growing your kingdom. Through Christ we pray. Amen.